WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And good morning. Good morning. This beautiful Tuesday. Tuesday in the wonderful month of December, the last month of the year. So We better squeeze as much as we can out of it. I am David Francoeur. Always have been, as far as I know, and probably always will be. Glad to be the producer and one of the hosts here today for this program. On the Biblical Response, and I'm going to introduce my co-host first, and then we're going to get into our topic for the day. Keith Masters, good morning, bro.
Good morning, David. How are you?
Oh, man.
Good to be here.
It is good to be here.
It is good to be here. It's good to see you. It's good to see the team. It's good to see everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's good to know that it's good to know that Jesus loves us.
Amen. That's the bottom line.
Amen.
That he does love us. And Stephanie Pennington.
Yeah. I'm somebody new today.
A dear friend of ours, who also is named Stephanie, and whom we miss greatly, as she's in South Carolina. But Stephanie Jacobson is here. Stephanie,
there you go. That's all right. I am here. Yes, I am. Thank you. It's good to be here. It's good to have our listeners on today. And
amen.
Welcome to you. And we hope you stick with us and stick around for the show.
Yes.
I hope so,
too. The program.
And last but certainly not least, and I always say this because she always is last and not least, is Ann Limhoko.
I don't take any offense. Don't worry.
I know. Appreciate
that. You're not supposed
to
be offended. Good morning. Good morning.
It's good to see you and good to have you with us. Yeah, I know. I can't do anything about it. Friends, if there's a little buzzing in your ear, we have our IT guy here today. He's probably twiddling dials and stuff. So
sorry, we were all looking at each other in the studio.
As soon as Ann gets going, I will mention it to him and then come back so I can do my part. But I'm going to throw this
nothing
out.
Nothing will deter us from today's
nothing
topic.
Nothing will deter
the
us.
The enemy has tried. We're coming to the studio just warlorn this morning because we faced a lot of... Because we're tackling a different topic, a very complicated and very bold topic.
Could be a series.
And I'm just going to name it. I'd written down one of my notes, which unfortunately part of what Ann is referring to is I was working diligently early in the morning at home typing out my notes that I was going to do for my presentation. And the thumb drive that I use, which I use here so I can transport it back and forth, was fine. I unplugged it, put it in my pack. I came here, plugged it in, and it won't read it. It says I had to reformat it, which means you lose all the data. So I had to reconstitute my stuff. It was very frustrating for me. Stephanie, you had some issues going on.
Yeah, I got here and saw your notes on the way here, and then I thought, okay, well, I've got my notes. And then I thought, oh, no, I left them on my printer. So all of my notes are left back at home in Vero Beach, which there was no way I was going all the way back there to get them. I'd been late.
So frustrating. But we're dealing.
We got here and we're revamping, and God is going to...
Amen. He's going to do this
anyway. We've covered this in prayer, man.
We did. We trust God. But the issue is Islam in America. That's kind of where the overall topic. And it's been in the news. And then one of our new listeners sent me an email about... We were asking the last time about topics. Alicia, thank you, Alicia, for doing that. And one of them was she was confused about Islam and what's going on. And so we felt like we could tell. It's a big topic, and we know we're going to trust God to do it. But I'm going to ask Ann to get us rolling while I... Oops, wait a minute.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I know. I'm sorry. We're dealing with some...
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well,
actually, but anyway,
you're playing with that, and it's coming and going.
So anyway,
it's gone now.
When Alicia wrote that email to WCNO and David asking us if we can talk about Islam, because she was sort of confused. I'm like, that is complete affirmation, because, you know, everybody in the studio knows that I've been saying this is something we need to cover. This is something we need to cover. And I listened to an interview this week, it was put in front of me again. And I'm like, this is something we need to cover. So the Lord made it super, super obvious, because we pray on what subject we need to cover. We present it to the Holy Spirit, and he downloads it to us. This is his show. We are his instruments, and we are here to say what he wants us to say. So, you know, as I was praying about this, David, and everyone in the studio and all our audience, the verse that kept coming up in my spirit is Ezekiel 33:6. And in the English Standard Version, this is what it says, Ezekiel 33:6. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet so that the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any of them, that person is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require of the watchman's hand. So all of us here on A Biblical Response, and this is a show that was started just over a year ago. We had our one-year anniversary last week, if you listen to the show. We are a show called to take specific current events prevalent in the news and respond to them through the lens of the Bible. So what we do is we bring scripture and bear it to what's happening in the news. We look at it through the lens of scripture. And this verse, Ezekiel 33:6, is one that we take seriously here at WCNO, because the Lord has given us a platform to talk about things that are difficult to talk about. Mm. We've gotten pushback. We've gotten calls.
Sure.
But we do what the Holy Spirit tells us. So
amen.
The topic
amen.
That we are going to address today is a question we want to pose to all of our listeners. And this is the question. Why should we be concerned about Islam in America as a growing influence? Yes. I don't know if our audience has even noticed the growing influence that has that the Muslims are having in America. It already has infiltrated, Muslim and Islam has infiltrated Europe, and Stephanie's going to talk about that. She's freshly back from a trip to Greece. But this is a topic that we as believers need to realize, because there are many ways the enemy has waged war against the body of Christ. And it Amen. Is happening through what many think is a religion of peace. And it's not a religion of peace. And we are not saying this based on our feelings. We're going to tell you the research. We're going to bring to you, David, our producer, is going to be speaking next and giving you the ins and outs of Muslim, Islam, the population growth, what they believe. He's going to be quoting from the actual, their holy book, the Quran. So on today's show, we will present to you the information we have found. And then this is what I do when I pray every morning. And I'm going to ask our listeners to do this before I punt it over to Dave. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to discern what is happening in the spirit. So we ask our audience to listen to the Holy Spirit as we present this information, who will then open your eyes and your ears so that you could discern what is happening. So, David,
amen.
Go forward.
Before I dive in, I'm just going to ask our listeners, we have been having some issues with buzzing in our headphones. If you're getting some buzzing on your radio, would you just call the station and tell them that you're picking it up as well?
If they didn't turn it off.
Well, hopefully they won't. But 772-221-1100. 772-221-1100. And mainly because we have our IT guy here today, which is like a grand visitation from Coco.
Yeah.
And he's the guy that can fix stuff. So
a lot going on outside of what we're speaking about.
And you know, things want to get in the way, but we're not going to let that happen. So
let's get to it, David.
I'm also going to say that there's no way in the time that I have to really cover all the ground we need to when looking at the theology of Islam. I'm going to give high points, right? Talking points. I would say to you, that if you're curious or concerned or think I've left something out, you can do what I do and go on the internet and just type in, you know, Islam, theology of Islam.
Yeah.
And you'll get a tremendous amount of
information.
Thank you. Sorry. So
we've got stuff happening over here.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff happening.
We got to keep going. Let him work, but we got to keep going.
First, I want to say, you know, that there are 10 commandments that are listed several times in the Old Testament. And the first commandment is, I'm the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me.
Yeah.
And that those commandments still apply to us today because we are grafted into Israel and we're part of the covenant. And I want to say that because as we go along and we talk about the founding of America, America was founded on Judeo-Christian theology, morals, and lawgiving. And so those things cannot be changed. And we're talking about influence.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, the Word of God cannot be changed.
The Word of God cannot be changed.
Right.
And God's intent.
Through our belief in the Bible.
And the structure of America.
And the word of God. Right.
So can you all hear me?
Yeah, we can now.
I can't hear you.
You just went off for a second. You're
okay.
Good. You're good.
Right.
Stay with us, audience. We're here. All right. Good deal.
Okay, you kind of know it's a little different today.
Yep.
Well,
there we go.
Okay. The word Islam from the Arabic means submission, and that's a very big theological foundational point in Islam. It means total submission to the will of their God, Allah, and the holy book of Islam, the Quran. Talking a little bit about the background, the founder of Islam is a guy by the name of Muhammad, born approximately 570 A.D., and that Islamic tradition says that in approximately 610 A.D., he began receiving direct revelations from, again, their God, Allah, through the angel Gabriel during the month of Ramadan. He came to believe that he was the prophet of God and claimed to receive revelations throughout his life. Islam builds its entire doctrinal system upon the divine revelation claimed in the Quran. And by the way, Muhammad did not write the Quran.
Yep.
It was oral traditions, very much like our New Testament, oral traditions that were eventually put down in writing over the centuries.
And some centuries later that they wrote a lot of that.
Centuries, right.
Yes,
exactly.
Which is
the
so
Bible.
Opposite of the Bible.
Right. The
but
Bible
anyway,
was
go
completed
ahead.
By 100 A.D., I
yeah.
believe.
And yet,
Paul's writings.
That length of time and the authorship, for Muslims, the Quran is the pure, untainted, direct and only final revelation concerning Allah and his desire for human beings. Quran reveals that there are two basic paths to knowledge about Allah. Positive information gained from the text in the Quran about the person and character of their God, and negative knowledge, which amounts to any portrait of their God not explicitly approved by the Quran. The Quran extends far beyond pure doctrinal assertions. Since Islam itself use it as a religion of submission, it proscribes certain actions and habits which characterize the faithful Muslim. And there's five of these. The Shahada, which is the statement there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is Allah's apostle or prophet. The Salat, which is the required prayer five times a day. Ramadan, the month of Ramadan in which Muhammad was born, they observe it as a month of fasting during the daytime. Zakat is almsgiving and charity to the poor. And Hajj, I believe that's how you pronounce it, H-A-J-J, the pilgrimage to Mecca. Now, the why to Mecca is because that's where Muhammad was born. So a lot of the focal point is on Muhammad. The Islam is a religion which emphasizes law and a strict obedience to authoritative revelations and traditions. Keep in mind, remember, Islam means submission.
Yeah.
The Islamic understanding, and this is a key point for us, and as we consider what we know of Islam, and the Muslim people and their, all across the world, their activities, if you will, in the cultures they live in, and also the cultures that they desire to influence, is the word jihad, which means holy war. Now, the understanding of jihad varies widely depending on the theological and social context. Many Muslims see jihad as the war against self, which brings the individual person in submission to God, kind of an internal spiritual thing. But there are others who see jihad through a temporal lens and condone acts of violence in defense of Islamic rule, which is often the things that we most recognize that are news in the news. I've got to go to my next set of notes here, scattered as they are. In the Quran, now, and I'm speaking of the latter point because those are the things we recognize and note. there are parts of the Quran. The chapters are called surahs, and so like in the Bible, instead of chapter, you know, from a certain book, it's surah, and then the chapter and the verse. And then I'm going to read five excerpts. Now, there's more, by the way. I would say there's more than these in the Quran that talk about how Muslims should respond basically to unbelievers.
I think there's, what, 75 chapters?
There's 75. Yeah. And these comments, they're not jam-packed in there, but there's plenty of them.
Right.
To see what guides Muslims in their daily life. From Surah 551, believers, take neither the Jews nor the Christians for your friends. That was, you know, don't. The Jews and Christians are definitely exempt from friendship, from relationships. From Surah 5, chapter 5, verse 17, infidels are those who declare God is the Christ, the Son of Mary. If you're an infidel, you're not an unbeliever. Mm. And ultimately, in the most extreme interpretations of the Quran, you die.
Yep.
Unbelievers, if they don't convert, you die.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can go to Nigeria for that.
Well, yeah, we can do that today, right? We don't have to wait for it here.
Just as an example.
Surah 573 says, infidels are those that say God is one of three in a trinity. Well, Christians have a Trinitarian theology. As the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that is the essential part of our essential beliefs. Surah 9, verse 123, make war on the infidels who dwell around you. Dwelling around you is not just the neighboring country, but your neighbors themselves.
Mm-hmm.
People across the street is how you can interpret that. From Surah 47, chapter 4, verse 4, when you meet the infidel in the battlefield, strike off their heads. Now, we also realize that the battlefield is wherever the infidels are, if you're a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be, again, it could be another country. It could certainly be across the street. And then the last one I'm going to read, of there's certainly many, but Surah 2, verse 191, kill the disbelievers wherever we find them. Now, these are the things that motivate, and more, that motivate when we call Islamic, or the fundamentalists, Islamic fundamentalists, and their acts of terrorism. Oh, the other one, never be a helper to the disbelievers, at Surah 28:86. So, and we're going to talk more about this, but the first Muslim American was recently elected to Congress. He took the oath to defend our Constitution, putting his hand not on the Holy Bible, which is customary, but the Holy Quran, their book.
Representative Keith Ellison.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the First Amendment to the Constitution states that Congress shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise of religion. So, you know, we allow people to practice their religion freely. Yet, Muhammad said, whoever changes his Islamic religion, kill him. Meaning that our own constitution requires that Islamic people change their belief system to align with the Judeo-Christian fundamentals of the constitution. And that, for a fundamentalist, is onerous. So I'm going to quickly move through and then put this back on the table for everybody else. But there was a book that I read. I didn't read the book, but I read a material from it. Dr. Peter Hammond wrote a book, Slavery, Terrorism, and Islam. He himself was a missionary in many places where Islam rules or is heavily invested in the culture, and seen a great deal of persecution and suffering because of that. And he writes a book, and the part of the book that I wanted to refer to is he looks at cultures and the percentage of Muslims in the population. And starting with under 2% in a country, and we right now, Keith, I think you corrected me, or
it's
somebody
about
did.
About 1.4 in America.
1.4% of America is Muslim.
Yep.
Which is about 4.5 million people.
4.5 million, right, yeah. Roughly.
That's a lot of people.
That they will be seen, those Muslims will be seen as a peace-loving minority and not a threat to other citizens. But as the percentage of population of Muslims in a country goes up, their involvement, investment, and entry into the culture and the politics, and their voice increases.
Mm-hmm.
When a Muslim population in a country reaches 2 to 5%, they begin to recruit from ethnic minorities and disaffected groups within prisons and street gangs. And we know there's a lot of Muslims in prisons particularly do that, such as Denmark, Germany, United Kingdom, Spain, Thailand. Mm. From 5% on, they exercise an inordinate influence in proportion to their percentage of the population. They will push introduction of halal, which is clean food standards. Mm-hmm. And like in the Jewish, kosher.
Yes, kosher. Yep.
But we don't see Jews in America forcing, you know, they certainly have access to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they bless the food.
Certainly. And the rabbi comes and blesses the food. But they don't force the entire culture to follow the rules. So percentages like France, 8% of the population is Muslim. Philippines, Sweden, Switzerland, Netherlands, Trinidad and Tobago, over 5%. When Muslims approach 10% of the population, they tend to increase lawlessness as a means of being compliant with their conditions. So the threat, mm-hmm. already began to talk about the threat of terrorism. Muslim in Guyana, 10%. India, 13.4% and so on. Russia, 15%.
The population of the Muslim
religion against the whole
in these countries.
And so, as the percentage of the population of Muslim goes up, their desire to more influence and change the whole culture goes up.
Mm-hmm. So you're reading off the percentage of population and what their culture looks like according to the population.
And at this point, what I'm just going to say is one of the reasons why we are concerned now is because all of these countries that have had increasing Muslim populations mm-hmm. started out very low. But they had immigration, some of it like in Europe, relatively uncontrolled. Well, that sounds like some things we had going on 4 years ago or a year ago.
Yeah.
So we have to be concerned about not being welcoming and not being loving of people, no matter what their religion or creed or skin color is, because that's part of our nature. But we have to be concerned that at some point this group is going to want to literally, totally transform this nation. And at this point, I'm getting the call sign from my associate over here. At this point, maybe you have a question or a comment. We're going to invite you to call at 772-221-1100. If you'd like, the 772-221-1100. If you want to weigh in, we'll give you a chance to share your concern, and then we'll move on.
America is a Christian nation. It's founded on Christian values. It's founded on the Bible. We brought the Bible. And when you say an infidel in the Muslim religion is anybody who says God is the Christ, the Son of Mary. So that is a direct opposition to what America stands for.
Yep.
And we are celebrating, you know, in a couple of weeks, we're celebrating Christmas. And Christmas is the birth of Jesus, who came and died on the cross for our sins. And it was the Immaculate Conception that we celebrate at the same time. So the Muslim religion is going against everything that God teaches us Jesus teaches us for his truth. Mm-hmm. The Muslim religion is saying that Jesus, people like Moses, Jesus, and Abraham, they've been lost or altered. The previous divine messages upon them by Abraham, by Moses, by Jesus, have been lost or altered throughout time. And we know if we go to Titus, we know that Titus tells us that the word of God is irrefutable. It's truth. It's good for correction. It's good for teaching, and that's the word of God by the Spirit of God. So it's everything that goes against Christian values, Christian beliefs, and the doctrine that the Christians read every day by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the reason why we're bringing this up today is because of the amount of people that are getting into the government across the country. And what happens is that they will eventually change the laws of America. So if we don't pay attention to exactly what is going on, these laws that we that are supported by the Declaration of Independence are going to be changed and ratified by people coming in that don't have the same values that we do in America.
And we've talked about this a lot on this show. This is something that, mm-hmm. continues to come up. One of the problems that we see that David was talking about was street gangs, and that didn't hit me until he said those words. And you know, we realize what's going on in Michigan.
Yep.
You know, and right. and even in New York now, that
Texas.
They are bringing it into the streets. They're not just staying in mm-hmm. in their place of worship.
Mm-hmm.
It is bringing it out and open and loud. And we know what happens when people get loud, even if it's a small group,
mm-hmm.
they become very visible. And so they're actually becoming visible. And we should be concerned about that. Not
absolutely.
That, of course, we as Christians should be more loud. In my,
we should.
In,
right. We should.
In
right.
my
we've
thing
talked,
is,
right.
you know, and so they are very passionate. But this is a fight that has been going on since biblical, I mean, back in Old Testament, right? This isn't something new. Even though the Muslim is the Muslim part of it is new.
Newer.
But the fight between good and evil has been, mm-hmm. you know, Christ and the enemy has been going on. And it's another surface level mm-hmm. of that fight. And so we are literally fighting
mm-hmm.
good and evil in the streets at this moment. And we need to be very careful when we come back to the ballot boxes,
mm-hmm.
make sure you know who is on those ballot boxes, on those ballots.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, you know, we hear about like a snake being in a, or a sheep being in a wolf being a sheepskin. Sorry, my brain, we got so much going on in here.
That's okay.
Yeah, sheep being, wolf being in sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
And we're a very diverse nation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have a problem with voting for someone who doesn't look like me. But at the same time, a lot of times they are people that look like me. And Muslims don't necessarily mean dark colored skin. It is a religion. It is not just a person that looks different. It is a religion. And we have to be aware of what these people believe
right.
when they're going into
right.
Ellison
did not declare his Muslim religion when he was
is that
running.
Right? He didn't speak about it, but he swore on the Quran.
Well,
but that was after he had already been
right,
elected.
After he got elected. So
that's what's happening.
That was like a sneaky.
So that's
you know that was
that's
just
the wolf in
you know,
sheep's clothing.
That's the wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
And if we read or if we recite what his speech was when
mm-hmm.
he was elected.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a nice speech. It's like his brotherhood. You know, he's going. We got to go after them. He spoke out loud against America, against the foundations and the values of this Christian nation.
Yeah, and it's not. We need to know that they already are trying to bring what they call Sharia law, which is their governmental system. They're trying to implement it into different cities already in the United States. You guys know what Sharia law is. It's their actual fundamental system. They're trying to implement that. That already has been tried to be implemented. I'm sorry for my words. In Michigan. It happened in Michigan. So I when I was researching, there actually has been a legislator who has proposed legislation so that does not happen in the United States because this is all.
It can't happen. I mean, they're trying to do it, but it can't happen.
They're trying to make it happen.
Right.
And that's why we need to be vigilant
aware, right.
and aware. And that's the reason why we're talking about this topic today.
Right.
So.
Right. To bring awareness. In the last election of 25, I think there was 26 new Muslim people elected for their religion, in their religion of Muslim. And they were elected in this 25 off year that starts in 26.
Yeah.
So was it 42? I think I'm wrong. 42 it was. It was 42. Yes, it was 42.
Mm-hmm.
Elected.
I'm sorry. We're kind of near a break, and I think we probably ought to take a break.
Okay.
We will come back. We're not going to run away. And when we do, now if you do want to call in, keeping in mind we're trying to cover a lot of ground in a short space of time, and which may itself enable us to say we need to do another program on this. But anyway, if you want to call, 772-221-1100 is the number. We're going to take a break. It won't be very long, and then we shall return.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Well, welcome back to Biblical Response, and the topic is Islam in America, and we're really just forging ahead in the spirit here, and I'm going to get Keith to kind of pick up this part of the conversation.
Yeah, we just wanted to explain one of the differences here is that Islam believes in a monotheistic religion, one God, where Christianity is monotheistic, but the Trinity of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And the Muslim religion says that if you believe in Jesus as the Christ, as the Savior, as the Redeemer, then you are an infidel. So that is really an alarming situation to have in a book that's supposed to be written by the love of God. Yeah. You know, Jesus is love, and Islam believes that it's the final and complete way of life that God revealed to guide humanity. And we know that God guides humanity through the Bible. Proverbs is a perfect example of that. 31 Proverbs for each day of the month through the wisdom of Solomon that God gave to Solomon and to guide our life and to keep us out of trouble. Just pay attention to that and you'll be good. The previous divine messages, such as the ones taught by, and I spoke of this before, taught by Abraham, Moses, and Jesus, they believe that those were lost or altered. And that is not true because the Bible is the written word of God, and that is just complete truth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So,
Keith, can I bring something up?
Absolutely.
Jesus says to love our enemies. That's in the word of God. But Muhammad says in the Quran, kill your enemies. And I don't know, people need to research that Muhammad actually started 73 wars and raids because what they did, and Stephanie will talk about this later on the show, what they did was they took over territories back in Turkey and Europe to take over, and Islam became the main religion because that happened first in Egypt, where there was a presence of Christianity, but was pushed out by Muslims. And that is what may happen in the United States if we do not wake up. If we do not wake up.
A lot of us are thinking, well, what does this have to do with me?
Right.
I don't see this happening.
Right.
And so we have less than 2% of the population in America.
And the facts speak for themselves. What you had reiterated before, what you had spoken of before,
yeah,
that the larger the population becomes, and as they grow in their government, mm-hmm, the laws start to change. Their voice becomes louder. Their voice becomes more of a dictatorship for of ways to do things than the freedom that God has given us in this country.
You're going to have to hit the
We got a phone call.
Hey, caller, you're on the air.
Good morning, guys. This is Anne Marie. I'm sorry I sound so froggy, but was listening to your program, as I always am, and thank you for taking on such a difficult subject, but God bless you for making it known, because this is very real for our situation. We actually have some of those people in our community, literally in our neighborhood. And I just wanted to ask a question. Why do you believe that most Americans have just been so blind to the ideas of this ideology? Is it possible that they've rejected the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, being that from God, and therefore, unfortunately, the deception that has swept in has been just so shockingly accepted? I'd like to hear your comments.
You know, Anne Marie, I think one of those things is, as the years came on, like from the 1990s, 2000s, you know, everybody talked about being open-minded and to allow things to come into this country. And if you weren't open-minded, then they started to call you a phobic, or, you know, something along those lines.
Islamophobic.
Yes. Or, you know, closed-minded. You mm-hmm. didn't want to be closed-minded. So these things kind of squeaked in, and we allowed them to happen. At the same time, the church was never voicing their speech, mm-hmm. I think, to go against anything that was going on in this country. So it's kind of started small, and it just keeps growing and growing because nobody is saying anything. And now, if you do say something, now you're an Islamophobe. Well, we're not an Islamophobe. We're trying to protect the ways of this country that God laid out for us through the Declaration of Independence.
I completely agree with you, Keith. I agree that
Do you think it's more that there's just the natural mind of what's been happening, and so their acceptance of trying to say that this would be a good thing? I'm trying to look at it as
I think
why they're so deceived.
I think that America is asleep at the wheel.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that they are asleep at the wheel. I don't think that they're paying attention to God. Mm-hmm. I think that there's too many things going on in their lives that they think are very important, and mm-hmm. so that everything is passing them by as they're walking asleep, because they don't understand what's going on around them.
A lot of people are ignorant.
Part of the problem, Anne Marie, is if you look at the history of America in terms of education, for the last 50 years, while the church has slowly crawled into its walls and hid behind its pews and mm-hmm. not gotten involved mm-hmm. in the culture and in politics, the secular education environment has become more and more involved in teaching these kids these liberal progressive models of thinking and all the openness that goes with it. And so the church hasn't been there to speak the truth into that environment,
mm-hmm.
and these kids 50 years ago and 40 and 30 years ago are now people that are voting, and some are in elected office, and they don't see the problem.
And I would say that there is not an assimilance of assimilating into our culture. They are bringing their culture into, which we love the melting pot of the U.S., right?
Yeah,
that's what we're known for, is we're known for that. However, there's been a surge in the last 30, 50 years to not assimilate into America as an American.
Right.
It is an assimilation. And one of the things is the population growth here in the U.S. because of things like abortion and things like, I'm only going to have one child, or I'm not going to have children till I'm, you know, 30 or whatever. And unfortunately, these are things that are actually against God's word. God says to have your children in your youth. God says to, you know, to multiply and the Muslims are multiplying to an extraordinary rate as opposed to what we are as here in, whether you're Christian or not, here in the United States. Mm-hmm. And so, and that's what's happened across the world, is they have an agenda, and the problem is that Muslims are also they are image bearers of God. And so as Christians, mm-hmm. we want to be talking to them about who Jesus is. You know, we don't mm-hmm. want them to go to hell. I mean, that's essentially what happens if we don't have Christ in our heart and life. You know, mm-hmm. there's a danger, and I would almost call it a very dangerous thing to be Muslim if your ears and eyes are not opened by a holy God. And so that's what we pray for in this studio, is that we can say, hey, let's put a question mark in your spirit. If you believe that Muslim is the right way, look at it. Go search it. We're not going to be the answer here today. We are just calling out and saying, look at this, see what you think, be aware, and don't hide under, put your head under the pillow.
You know? Yeah, well, for exactly the voting right. Because yeah.
We got to go.
We got to move on. But thank you, Anne Marie.
We're trying to be a witness to that. So
amen.
God bless
yeah,
you
thank you, Anne Marie. God bless
thank you.
I just want to say that we want to love the Muslims. We're not here to mistreat them. Right. The word says that we love the people, but we know we hate the sin, but we don't hate the sinners. So I just want to bring that up because we don't want to mistreat them. We want to love on them, and that's what God calls us to do, is love on them.
Exactly. I was out on the street Saturday night witnessing at a local event with the Christmas tree. And I actually did have a conversation with a Muslim, mm-hmm. Him and his wife, and they had a little girl. And he was open to the conversation, mm-hmm. and he said, let's get together. Because his thing was, you have to read the Quran. Well, the Lord said, I really don't have to read the Quran because I read the Bible. Yeah. But I am open to seeing what the Quran says to refute what the Holy
Spirit. To be educated when you talk to Muslims.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly right. And so that was an interesting fact, and he was open actually to listening to who God was and who Jesus was and the Holy Spirit.
We just have to engage with people and not be attacking, and people will have these conversations. You know what I mean?
And we want to underscore the fact that the purpose of this program is not to incite people to exercise extreme prejudice in the direction of any Muslim person.
Right.
Yeah.
What we are talking about is we are informing you about certain facts that you need to know about.
What is going on in this country.
As you consider what's going on,
what is going on in this country
and how you're going to respond, especially at the ballot box.
Right.
When avowed Muslims run for office, because of the impact, the negative impact that's going to have in a lot of areas, and be aware prayerfully.
You know, I get the New York Post, the paper, on the weekends, and the front page of this weekend's New York Post was Mamdani, who's a Muslim, who just got elected mayor for New York City, starts effective January 1, mm-hmm. He said that he is going to open up the streets to the homeless housing and the tents that in New York City. And what that is going to look like is going to be abysmal. And what they had in Los Angeles. And this is what we're talking about, because this is not the culture of America. And this is not the Americana that people are used to and are familiar with.
We have to be aware that there is a surge of Muslims getting elected, as you talked about. In the 2020 midterms, there were 153 Muslim Americans running and winning over 80 seats.
Right, so, right. Changing culture, trying to change culture through laws.
And we are bold to say there is an agenda. There is an agenda when they get into office. They are trying to change things. And that's mm-hmm. why Representative Chip Roy, Texas 21st District, introduced the Preserving a Sharia-Free America Act. Because mm-hmm. he sees that people are coming in and want to bring their Sharia law into this country.
Yeah.
It's reached the federal level. It's reached our members of Congress.
Right.
Yes.
The church, we talk about the church being quiet. We talked about the progressive Christianity that's occurred over the past few years.
Yeah.
And how they're letting all of that go and all of that coming into the culture at the same time. And that was a fight that we had. And we're still trying to correct that. In this current administration, about what they were trying to do in the churches and in the schools And that was an agenda that they have.
During some of the videos I was watching as well, they were talking, they were showing some of the, like, back, I don't know, they were Muslims that were talking. I don't know how they get these videos, but they were Muslims that were talking about how they were going to take over. And it used to be that it was just, you know, being a larger group. But now they're saying actually that they getting into the politics is where they are going to actually win in this nation.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's
taking caller, you're on the air, I think. You'll turn down your radio, please.
Okay. Is it down enough?
I think so. I couldn't hear myself now, so I think we're good.
Okay. Well, my comment, I hear what you all saying about, you know, the Muslims and how, you know, people will get into office with these different, you know, like views. But, I mean, when we look at how things are going right now, you know, with this presidency, how radical things are, things are only going to get worse. You know, we know what Matthew 24 say, the times are going to grow worse.
Mm-hmm.
So I think how things are right now, moving in America with even our president, it's opening up that doorway for people to come in and, be, you know, about all of this. These rules and stuff that, you know, we wasn't built on, you know, coming with these foundations that America wasn't built on.
And we need to make sure to ensure those foundations are secure, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling.
All right. Y'all have a blessed day.
You too. God bless. Okay. And, you know, I hear what she's saying. At the same time as the phone. Nothing's working right today. But we still need to, we can't just sit back and say, oh, it's going to happen anyway.
No,
we have to take action. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit is moving His church, galvanizing the church to speak into the culture, to speak the Word of God, to become active.
Why don't we talk about what happened in Europe? Because what happened in Europe is now they are completely Muslim. We're looking at what, Stephanie, the UK, Greece?
Yeah.
If we do not look to Europe and see that as what can happen and come here across the pond, then, I mean, people need to wake up. Why don't you talk about your recent Greece trip, or if you want to bring
any. I just want to say, since you mentioned population in Europe, in Germany, Muslims are 3.7% of the population. Denmark, 2%.
Wow.
United Kingdom, 2.7%.
Yeah.
Wow.
Spain, 4%. So
and you get arrested for saying anything negative about the Muslim religion in England online. If you make a comment about the Muslim religion online in England, you get arrested.
But it's not just
they
that.
They come and knock on your door.
If you make a if you make a theologically Christian statement.
I was just going to say that.
That upsets, it's not just the Muslim.
Right.
That particular culture today, they're so twitchy
and that's
about saying anything about anything.
And how did that happen?
Well, because
England used to be a free country.
Part of that problem is the church, like over here.
Right,
hiding in your building, behind your pews, not getting out of the culture, not bringing the Word of God into the heart of your government, and those things happen. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Anyway, you still want to call, 772-221-1100 is the number, 772-221-1100. And I just make a quick segue to what else we want to say before. But we had a visit. We have a business partner here, Bug Off Pest Control. David Lunder is the owner.
Mm-hmm.
And he just dropped by a couple of cards here, which I won't share on the air. It's too much to read. But just to remind us, he had a brother who was in the towers the day of 9/11 and who died in there. Christopher Lunder, David's brother.
Mm.
And just to say that, as he brought that in, and I'm thinking, you know, we have in our own national memory a day, the 9/11, when fundamentalist Muslims in jihad over America flew planes into those two buildings, and over 3,000 people died that day. And it is part of the Muslim plan to take over, become the whole world, literally, to be Muslim.
Well, and they just, who did they put in office up there? I mean, we've already forgotten what happened.
In May of 2025, French report warns of Islamist entryism as a risk to national cohesion.
Yes.
And President Macron wrote in May of 2025, this year, Islamists are infiltrating France's republican institutions and are a threat to national cohesion, according to a report presented by President Emmanuel Macron on Wednesday. So this was back in May. And it says that after meeting his security cabinet, Macron asked the government to come up with new proposals by early next month in light of the seriousness of the report's conclusions. That the report drawn up by two senior civil servants claims to find evidence for a policy of entryism by the Muslim Brotherhood.
Go ahead.
Now, into public bodies like schools and local government.
As you're saying that, they're doing this after the fact, after they opened their doors and allowed immigration. Now they have to defend and protect after they allowed the problem in. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just like that's why. Why do you think the doors were open 4 years ago? Do you think there was not an agenda? You know what I mean? To bring in all the people who came in undocumented and illegal. And that's what President Trump is trying to stop. There's an agenda.
Yeah.
So,
when I was in Greece, and I think I've talked about this a little bit before on air. We were in a meeting that was a closed meeting and very private because we were in kind of a Muslim area. And so we had to be very discreet as being a Christians. And the people that were in that room with us began to open up and give us some of their thoughts on the immigration there in Greece. And as I sat there and listened, I felt this very strange feeling in my heart because I thought, man, these people seem so excited about their immigration over there. And yet a lot of these are Muslims coming in. I mean, they're immigrants and they are welcoming them. And one of the things that I asked one of the ladies at the end, I said, I feel horrible because I just feel like I don't have that joy that I see in you as you are helping to assimilate these people into Greece. And I said, why is that? Why do I, 'cause America, we seem to just let the borders open and everybody comes in and, you know, nobody checks on anything. And, you know, and so
the American culture disappears.
Well, here's what she said. She said, and she was American, by the way. So it wasn't like she was looking at us as some strange country. She lived in America and was American.
Yeah.
She said, but I've watched Greece and how they do it. Now, let me back up a second. And Europe is primarily becoming Muslim. I mean, that is Muslim countries. But she said, we bring the immigrants into an area. And this goes back to what you were saying earlier. There is an extreme part of Muslim. And then there are Muslims that aren't the extremists. And which one is worse? It's the extremist, right? So they are checking these people as they come in, who they are and what their agenda is. And they're not doing just a cheap job of it. They're actually making sure. And then as they see that they're not an extremist, they allow them into the country. Now, does that mean that there aren't extremists in their country? No, it doesn't mean that. But they are more careful than we are here. And that's one place that I think that we could be a lot more diligent about. Like when they're allowing people to come into the country, go back to what our laws are and have them come in legally, not having. OK, that's a whole nother subject. So we're not going to go down that rabbit hole.
Right.
But one of the things that I wanted to point out when I was doing some of my research is there's a website called Open Doors and it has a world watch list and it has an annual ranking of the 50 countries where Christians face the most extreme persecution. Mm. Now, that doesn't always mean by Muslims because there's, like
other
David
religions.
Was saying, well, Christians, guys, I don't know about y'all, but I think we're coming into the really into the last times of, you know, of what our the Bible talks about.
Yeah.
And I just think that there's going to be more persecution of the Christian faith as time draws nigh and the Lord coming back. But in their findings, out of the 50 countries that the Christians face the most extreme persecution, 33 out of those 50 are Muslim countries. I didn't even know that we had 33 Muslim, fully Muslim countries. But
wow.
But anyway, that's
alarming,
a
Stephanie.
Huge number of of people. Yeah, one of the stories that I there's also a organization called the OIDCE. Did not know this existed. It's the Observatory on Intolerance and Discrimination Against Christians in Europe. Hmm. That's a long. It's a long thing, but
long
there were a couple of stories that they brought in that I thought was interesting. And one is not talking about the Muslim, but just talking about Christians being persecuted. After taking self-defense lessons and repeatedly calling on the police for protection, two nuns living in France decided the escalating hostility against them for their faith was too much. They moved from the region rather than endure further beatings, spitting, and insults.
Wow.
That's not even talking about Muslims. We're just talking about Christians being persecuted for their faith.
Yes.
Another one was in England. A convert, now this one was Islam, a convert to Christianity from Islam fought off a knife attack by his flatmate who said he deserved to die, quote unquote, for renouncing his former religion. The Guardian, this was in The Guardian, reported
that's what the Quran tells him to do.
That both men were in the UK as asylum seekers. So
can I see something?
I'm not sure what they were both seeking asylum from, but
just to let you know time is running out.
Right.
When one is killing the other, what are they seeking asylum from?
But I think they may come in as saying that they're not these extremists, but I fear that they're doing that just to come in.
They bring in
Taqiyya.
Taqiyya is
the name of it's a philosophy under their religion, under Islam, where they are allowed to lie. They are allowed in their religion to lie if it's for the furtherment of their faith.
Right.
So
right.
if they are lying, and do you think Mamdani's words are all truth? He's lying for the sake of furthering his religion. There is an agenda there.
And you know, I'm going to pick up two things here real fast, David. When we were talking about the discussion yesterday over the phone, we were preparing. We have our meeting on Mondays. And then we brought up this was being put together. I went to pick up my son from school, and then on the way home, this is what I read on a semi-trailer on the way home, and it says...
Yeah, you're in your car.
In my car driving home, and it says, Muslims are soldiers of Jesus the Messiah against Antichrist. That is completely untrue. That is not what is in the Quran. That is completely untrue. So, and then, David, if I have a minute
Talk about confusion.
If I got a minute here, okay?
Just one minute.
Yeah, from the BBC. From the BBC, what I was talking about before with Macron, okay, in a copy report, okay, the newspaper, the authors identified the Federation of Muslims of France. They said the Federation of Muslims of France controlled 139 places of worship in France with a further affiliated in all around 7% of the total. The organization also ran some 280 associations in sports, education, charity, and other fields, as well as 21 schools. The aim of the movement was to set up ecosystems at local levels to the structure and the lives of Muslims from birth till death. The movement officials, who are hardened activists, enter into a relationship with the local authority. Social norms, the veil, beards, dress, fasting are gradually imposed as the ecosystem solidifies.
Wow. Wish we could say more, but we have to say goodbye.
All right.
Next week, let us know if you want to hear more about this.
Another program.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at wcno@wcno.com. In the subject line, write David@abiblicalresponse. Remember, when you are challenged by what you see and hear going on around you, pray and invest in God's Word for guidance.